Welcome back inside the cave on this Tuesday morning. Pat Hayes along with John Kane. And as promised, we have Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing. And Tom, it was another nice victory for the University of Michigan this past Saturday. And the Wolves just kind of roll along, 10 wins now and counting.
Yeah, 10-0, first time since 2006. And thanks for nudging me in my ribs to wake me up in that second half as I was dozing off. I mean, I really could have embarrassed myself in the press box. That was somewhat of a yawner, but a win's a win. And, hey, it's onward and a big challenge. You know, it's a challenge because you got a lot on the line when they play Illinois at noon on Saturday.
Well, in this game past Saturday, it was pretty, as you said, kind of a ho-hum game. Michigan trying not to show anything before their big matchup with Ohio State. And pretty much the run game, the passing game was a little suspect. J.J. not looking sharp at all on Saturday, but, of course, the run game was running full steam ahead. Blake Corum, another 100-yard rushing day for him. Offensive line, I mean, just awesome. I just can't talk enough about the offensive line. They have done a great job. And, of course, the defense, you know, they almost had a Schneider there, but they gave up that field goal. And but Michigan really looked good.
Yeah, that's a great summary there, Pat. You pretty much covered the bases. And, you know, on that passing game, though, with J.J., I agree with you. He was a little off, 8 of 17, a buck 29. But I'm concerned as much, you know, for him having his consistency on deep throws is the wideouts not getting separation on this Michigan team. You know, against Nebraska, how challenging is it going to be moving forward? Against Illinois, a much better defense in Nebraska. Ohio State being Ohio State, it's a tough environment down there. And then on to the CFP if that works out for Michigan. So I think Harbaugh addressed that. I mean, you can tell it's kind of the 800-pound gorilla. How do we get this vertical passing game going? But the rushing game and Blake Corum, I mean, Blake, he's an amazing young man, 162 yards, 28 carries. Right at the very start of our post-game interview, he says, I could do this all over again. I'm feeling great. You know, he's a incredibly self-confident young man and very talented. And so it was a workman-like rushing-type game, and maybe they're holding off all the offensive fireworks for Ohio State. Who knows?
You know, Tom, you're right. We talked about this, the vertical passing game, and I think they threw out a stat. I don't know how many attempts J.J.'s had this year, but only one completion of 50 or more yards for the entire season. Now, they're going to get some opportunities in the next few weeks to see how they can get that worked out, because I just get this feeling that, you know, guys are creeping on the other side, are creeping closer and closer to the line of scrimmage to stop the running game, and they've got to hit some of this deep stuff.
Oh, yeah, and I think getting Luke Schoonmaker back and maybe using that tight end between the hashes down the field like you see a lot of teams do, and what Michigan has done in the past. And I'm not, you know, when I look at back to the wideouts, you know, it seems to me, just, you know, just optically with a very naive knowledge bank here, that Michigan's wideouts seem to be going in this, you know, kind of this karate fight with a DB down the field, and they actually slow themselves down sometimes, I think. And they might not be getting the separation that they would get if they just ran the damn route. You know, I mean, I've seen that just a few times, and trying to get leverage, and I understand that. But yeah, they got to step up. They got to step up in that regard, because you're going to have to have a balanced attack down in Columbus. Because you're right, you're exactly right, John. You're gonna see Ohio State put 7 in the box. You know, we're gonna dare you to beat us in the vertical passing game, and you know that's hard to just flip the switch, I would think, in one game. I'm hoping we see some progress on that, guys, this weekend against Illinois.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if they would go the route of Rodgers from Green Bay, just throw a moon ball up there when you got one-on-one on the outside hope for your guy to win that battle. But, I mean, to me, if you're going to throw it that far, it wouldn't bother me to do that once or twice just to see what happens.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point because, you know, in contrast, Ohio State has probably the most talented receiver in college football, and Marvin Harrison Jr. He's 6'4". You can do the 50-50 jump ball thing, just like Michigan State has been doing that with Keon Coleman all season long, a basketball player. And Michigan doesn't really have that lanky Adrian Arrington type of receiver on this team. And Darius Clemens is 6'4", but he's a true frosh that doesn't really see the field much. So, maybe I'm overstating that that's part of the problem, but it seems to be. And so you never see you rarely see a post corner in the end zone for Michigan. I mean, Michigan used to win. Benny Joppru played. I remember this play, and they ran the tight end at post corner a few times, and you don't see that, and you don't see play action on first down. Jim Harbaugh is calling out for more creativity in the red zone, and he's going to need it for these last two regular season games.
Well, what's with Illinois? I mean, are they going to stagger to the finish line here?
Well, we've got we have four teams with 4-3 records: Illinois, yeah. Purdue, Minnesota, and Iowa. And we were talking about this in the box on Saturday. We really don't want to play Illinois twice in the same year. But Purdue, they might have the inside track. Minnesota also is probably going to be there.
Yeah, and Iowa, believe it or not, when you look at the schedule, they might be the most viable. Who wants to play Iowa again? You played them last year in the championship. You've already played them this year. You know, you hate rematches. I think Michigan could handle the West opponent because the West is a mess, in my opinion, and it calls for either just having one, do the top two, like the Big 12, and to heck with this, the West versus the East. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want, guys, on that thing. We cross that bridge when we get there, and obviously, you know, it's one you got to go 1-0 each week, and that starts with Illinois. But before the Big Ten championship is that winner take all thing down in Columbus, and they have to win it. You know, we talked about this earlier that Michigan with that ridiculously weak non conference slate, they have to pitch a perfect game to get to the CFP. They have to go 12-0. There's no equity there for any. You know, you don't have anything to develop there to have a loss and get in like most other teams can. Michigan cannot afford it because they're non-conference, and so they got to win at Columbus.
Tom, I want to go back to the beginning of the season media day when you asked Jim Harbaugh a pointed question about why Michigan doesn't play more Power 5 schools in their preseason schedule before the Big Ten season gets started. You were named in an article by Pat Forty this week, and he didn't know the answer to that question because Jim Harbaugh said you need to talk to Ward Manuel. I want to know if you have talked to Ward Manuel about this.
I have. Oh, my colleague John Borton did soon after, and I'm going to get a one-on-one with Ward on a podcast this summer. I think I deserve that, and I think I can make that happen. But you wouldn't believe this is, you know, everybody's got good fans, and Michigan's got a lot of incredible fans, but they got a lot of bad fans. And so I called out the quote unquote sacred Jim Harbaugh on that was a live thing on BTN. WTKA lit me up for an hour with call ins, like, you know, what's this clown doing here? You know, calling out Harbaugh, as well as feedback off the Wolverine.com and feedback, you know, some pretty nasty stuff that was sent to my direct message board on Facebook. I mean, it's like, where are you people coming from? I mean, my feeling is, guys, if you're a credentialed media, which you guys are, it's your job It's your job to be the liaison from the team, the players, to the fans who don't have access. You have access. You've been rewarded access. You need to ask those questions. That's your job. And, you know, to get, you know, the nasty feedback on that was ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, Jim stared me down, but I double stared him back, you know, because I'm too old to put up with crap like just him. And listen, Jim Harbaugh has done a tremendous job these last 2 years in a lot of ways. But like a lot of us, you know, I mean, you know, he does things that irritate you, and he irritated the hell out of me that day.
Well, one other thing I want to talk about, a little bit about the Big Ten, and still nothing about the altercation in the tunnel at Michigan Stadium with Michigan State. John U. Bacon put out a bombshell this last week about some letters that he received from folks that were standing on the sideline and witnessed some very toxic stuff that was going on. What's with the Big Ten?
You got me. And, you know, you start connecting dots. Kevin Warren is the commissioner of the Big Ten. His son's on the Michigan State team. So you start doing that. Like, well, what's the delay here? Is there a conflict of interest? I don't know. I know, you know, that when Bacon came out with that, and I kind of got a hint from him that he was something was coming down when I was chatting with him earlier in the day in the box, and then that came out, and he is just getting lit up here on social media and on the message boards at Michigan State. It's kind of scary stuff, to be honest with you. But I don't know where this is going to go. I mean, if you know, when you do that, I'm sure, you know, John is a true professional. He's an ultimate pro, so he's not going to put out anything that he doesn't think is true, and he's got a good source. But this is just going to make this animosity, Michigan State, however this fleshes out with, you know, with reports of the prosecuting attorney, how they move on it, because the police reporting investigation is done. But Michigan versus Michigan State is a toxic rivalry, and in my estimation, will never be the same for many, many years to come. And I know people hate for me to say this, but I wish they didn't play each other anymore, because it's not any fun anymore.
You know, I don't know if it's a possible solution. Pat and I have talked a bit about this on the show. I think it was the week after it happened. If an option, Notre Dame has separate entrances and exits for the home and visiting players. And as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago when they defeated Clemson, there was an altercation at halftime where a Clemson player wound up getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. But it was, you know, it didn't go anywhere because most of the teams had already exited to their own exits and entrance. I don't know if they can, you know, take out a couple of rows and get something up for a different way for the whole visiting teams to enter and exit the stadium, but it might be something to think about.
No, I mean, I'm going to strongly disagree with you, John, in all due respect. It can be managed with security personnel, and this is the third incident in almost 95 years. And this is the only one that's actually turned into a violent situation. Nebraska game didn't have any issues with it, so that's workable. I think its insecurity was enhanced. I think that's tackled. The issue is this rivalry has got to have some leadership at the time. I'm talking about the presidents of the two schools and Michigan State. You better name one of these days that sticks around and get a board of trustees that's all on the same page. Leadership at Michigan State, and you got to get the two athletic directors, Alan Haller, Ward Manuel, and then the two head coaches before next year's game. There's going to have to be a PR effort to promote good sportsmanship and not camaraderie, but at least respectful a rivalry between Michigan State, or else this thing is just going to fester even more.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Rutgers game, but after the Rutgers game, both teams walked through the tunnel at the same time. They were shaking each other's hands, slapping them on the back, talking to each other. No problem there.
Yeah, and if it's John U. Bacon stuff, what's transpired at the Michigan State bench, if that proves to be true, who knows where this is going to go? And obviously we don't know where the investigation goes. So stay tuned on this. I just want this thing to be culminated, though, as we all do, because this is crazy.
Quickly, before we have to go here, let's talk Michigan basketball. They got a game coming up tomorrow against Pittsburgh. They'll be out in Brooklyn, New York, and it's then the Legends Classic on the 17th. Michigan basketball looking pretty good. We had a look at Monty Bates from Eastern Michigan this last game, and Michigan seems to be rolling along as far as the basketball season is concerned.
Yeah, it is. There are some concerns, and they were behind in that game, and you know, so they have some of the same you know, sets of weaknesses. Free throw shooting is bad. Dribble drive penetration was bad. And you know, if they kind of got the ball to Hunter Dickinson early and often and forever in that game, it would have been a 20-point game. But they finally started to do that, and then got some good guard play in the back end of that game from Jalen Llewellyn. But a good win for Michigan. Eastern has some talent, obviously. And I, you know, we'll find out more against Penn. And then you know, you got Kentucky looming ahead, and North Carolina, and then the Big Ten slate. So we're going to find out these next few weeks how good Michigan is, guys.
All right. Well, before you go, Tom, I know we've talked the Michigan-Illinois game to death, but I'd like you to give us your score on what you think is going to transpire here Saturday.
Well, I think I think it's going to be another slobber knocker early on. Michigan starts slow in the first half. I'm thinking like a 24-7, which is probably hovering right around the spread. I think Michigan's going to have a little more challenge offensively, and I still think they're going to be conservative and not show their hands and get a win out of here without getting anybody hurt, you know, God forbid, and then also showcasing stuff in their playbook they don't have to. Want to hold that back, get ready for the Bucks. So I'm predicting 24-7, kind of another workman-like win.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for being with us again today. Of course, you can hear Tom every Tuesday at 7:25 right here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. We'll be talking to you next week. We'll see you in the box on Saturday.
Oh, I look forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Tom Crawford, our guest this morning from the Crawford Podcasting Network and Fox 47 out of Lansing. You're inside the cave. Don't go away. We'll be right back.